I just urge the residents to come out and vote. This is a very important election for your community, and it's important that we get a good turnout.
Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime at WFPR.FM, on the internet, and in the Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. There were two town council meetings last week, budget hearings, one and two. So we're going to do a recap and do our quarterbacking session with our town council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Steve. Just back from a nice long weekend, so that's a good thing.
Yes. And the weather for the Memorial Day parade
Yeah,
ceremony,
yeah.
etc., worked out nicely for everybody.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did for sure. So.
So for the new listeners, thank you for joining us. Welcome to this. And for the returners, we'll just give a quick recap and then get into this. So we're focusing in this quarterbacking session on, okay, what just happened? And what does it mean for Franklin residents and taxpayers? So last week, as I indicated, you had two budget hearings on the FY26 budget. The first one was the longer night of the two. Clearly, and for the refresh for the voters, residents who haven't listened yet, certainly we encourage you to do so. The video is available on the town page, franklin.news page. Your process, effectively, aside from the joint budget listening sessions, which you did six of, aside from the three budget hearings the FinCom did, you
Yeah.
have two nights on your watch. Effectively, the clerk of the council reads the line items of the budget, and then each councilor gets a chance to put a hold. Clearly, you also put what, five or six aside as council
In
holds
fact,
for the
yes.
major budget items.
Yeah.
And then after all the reading, then the comments and the questions ensue.
Exactly. And it has been for sure a very long budget season, shall we say, or
Season is a good one,
seasons.
yes. Or seasons, actually,
Seasons
we've
probably a
transcended a
better
couple
way.
at least.
Yeah. We started the budget process back in September of last year. I've alluded to it many times. I do believe that this was the best budget process, the most informational, most widespread throughout the community budget process that we've done as long as certainly since I've been on the council. And I think it was a really good budget process. And by charter, council has to have two public hearings on the budget. And those two were last week on Wednesday and Thursday night. And as you alluded to, we read through all of the different line items. We do get an opportunity to, councilors get an opportunity to hold any line that they'd like to. We do put five, the big five, we put automatic holds on, knowing that there'd be at least one or two questions from different councilors on those items, being, police, fire, facilities, DPW. So we put those automatic holds out there. And then there were another half a dozen that were held by councilors for different reasons. But bear in mind, I know some people watching might be saying, well, why weren't they holding more items? And I guess the short answer to that question is the budget process has been going on so long, and most of those questions that may or may not have been asked at the council's public hearing were asked during those six listening sessions by residents. And I do feel that the process was, as I said, the best that we've done since I've been there. And I think the most of the council was pretty comfortable with what we brought forward to a budget. And understand the budget that was brought forward is based on level services. That was what how the budget was built from day one. If we were to continue with the service being currently provided this past year, that's how we wanted to build this budget. So again, that's how it was built, and that's why there's an override question out there for June 3rd, and that is for the deficit in order to provide that levels those level services currently being provided. There was a $3.86 million shortfall, and that in fact is the ballot question that is out there. And we had the one hearing on Wednesday night, and then on Thursday night I closed. We were able, as you alluded to get through the entire budget on the first night. So I closed the first public hearing at the end of the meeting on Wednesday night, which was, I believe, was somewhere around 11 o'clock or 11:01, something like that.
Close
And
enough.
then we opened the second, I opened the second public hearing on Thursday night. And rather than read through every line item on the second night, I just asked if there were any questions from anybody about any line item anywhere on the budget. And there were a few questions, but for the most part, it was most of the questions had been answered. And because we do have to vote a balanced budget, instead of closing the second public hearing, I continued, asked for a continuation from the council to continue the public hearing till our June 4th meeting, which is really the day after the override election, so that in fact, if the override passes, it would probably be a shorter meeting, because we would just vote forward with the budget as presented last week. If in fact the override fails, then the council will have to make some cuts. And there is a list of potential, a menu of potential FY26 budget reductions if in fact the override fails. And those can be found on the website, on the override website, and on the budget website, on the town's web page. And but I do want people to clearly understand what that menu of potential budget reductions is. And really, it's a draft of potential cuts. The dollar number amounts to a little bit more than what the actual deficit is.
I think it's like 4.42.
And the reason for that is because, again, when we were working through this budget, it is a continuing changing. There are things that change along the way. Health insurance rates fluctuate. And our different income revenue pieces can fluctuate a little. The state number, and this is what's always been very confusing to me, but we're required by law to pass a balanced budget, but yet we don't have final state numbers until after. So that's why the numbers are different. But if they read the top paragraph of those menu of potential FY26 cuts, they can understand that there is some fluctuation with the revenue. And it's also another reason why we as a council always end up having another budget session in the fall, when numbers are more finalized and we have to make some adjustments at that juncture as well. So a lot of information, all of which can be found on the website. So there we are,
There
or
we
here
are.
we are.
Here we are with a few days left still to go for those who haven't yet voted. There's still early voting available at the town clerk's office before the voting in person at the high school from 6 to 8, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, June 3rd. So I'll reinforce, I think, two or three points. We're here now because obviously the override last year did not pass. And based on the council's changes at that time to balance the budget, there were 3 million of one-time funds used. So, three of the 3.8 we knew last year. We're only 0.8 more, thanks a great deal to obviously the town staff accordingly, but also major to the schools for their redistricting effort, which brought in multiple millions, 3.1 of which they're just leaving aside. We as a community are never going to have to look at that other 3.1 again because they've truly right-sized the district. And that was the one piece that I think, with all due respect, Superintendent Jaguar, as he was going through his piece on Wednesday night, kind of left that little bit out. He covered a number of points, but he didn't really cover that redistricting piece,
That
how
was a
truly
huge, huge piece for the community.
setting us up the foundation for the future. And particularly given some of the other buildings that are going around, people are saying, well, more and more kids are going to come in. And, excuse me, with this redistricting, and I think I walked through the example, it was either, I think in one audio I said 32, and I think that night I said 30, because there was, I think it's eight classrooms and seven classrooms between North and South, or now Lincoln and Washington. That we could theoretically take that many additional students into kindergarten without changing the budget for adding another teacher, which we could not have done in the existing structure. It could not have been done.
Very, very well said. And again, I think, in fairness to Lucas and to our town administrator, Jamie Helen, they have had gone through these explanations so many times that sometimes they say, well, I've already done this. I've already explained this, but it needs to continue to be said and explained for those who may not have listened up to this point. So I thank you for that explanation, which was a very good one.
No, thank you. And Superintendent did as well, because he apologized. He said, I had so much on my mind. I said, I know. I know you've said it. I was at all the other sessions and you said it. You said it. And then this one key piece, it wasn't. So I just, that was the only time I stepped up and I thought it was appropriate to do so.
Absolutely was, for sure.
And then in regards to the reset, so the state number that you started with effectively was the governor's number, which they release in January. Then the House does their thing. Then the Senate does their thing. And there's always some tweaks along the way. Once those House and Senate come together, they're then going to go to a conference committee and work out the details. But yeah, that'll be what, July, August by the time they do that. So your reset to true up our budget is always in that November time frame, at least just before you set the tax rate to truly confirm everything.
So, so people need to understand, they think that you're able to say this, and this are going to be cut. Yeah, if an override were to fail, but that's not always the case, which is why it in the administration's recommendation and as to what potential cuts may be, they will be pretty close to the number, the numbers by department. But again, you may get in front of the council, and the council may, if they were, if the override fails, the council may look at some of these cuts and say, yeah, do we really want to do this? Maybe we want to move this from here. But that total number of dollars will need to be cut.
Still has to be found. Yeah, and that's where
You have to
respectfully.
find it, so either in cuts or revenue, one or the other. There is that shortfall.
Agreed. And that's where, respectfully, with the five big ones, respectfully, the other departments, if they weren't really questions, respectfully, they're such as important as they are, their dollars are relatively small potatoes in compared to the big budget. So, yeah, somebody could look at a spreadsheet and say, oh, we don't need this, we don't need that. But in some cases, oh, by the way, that by law, we need to provide health. We need to provide this. We need to provide that. But some of the others, that's where you then have to walk that fine line in terms of what can we live with and under a short circumstance. So hopefully we won't need to get that far. But yeah. And then the second night, you had a couple of license transfers. Well, one modification, which is relatively easy, change in manager, which I think was in the first time I heard that in a public session, at least to my recollection, where the current owners have now elevated a couple of their employees to an ownership status. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool, and some of the counselors remarked about how nice it was to see people within their existing company were elevated to management positions. So that was really nice to hear, and a couple of counselors actually remarked about that. And that was that, the first one was a change of ownership, which is really the shed. As people know, sometimes these corporate names change for whatever the reason. And sometimes when I'm sitting here or sitting at the council reading these off, and then coming on with you and talking about them on radio, it's simpler just to say, this is the Shed Restaurant down on 140.
In this
They
case, it was
just haven't
Franklin Shed
changed.
LLC doing business as The Shed, which, they're doing business at that. That's what the key piece is.
So anyway, it was we approved that license modification, and it was great to see that a employee was elevated to the manager position. So an ownership piece with an ownership piece for sure.
Yeah, and the next two were effectively an approval of transfer. So effectively, one license was transferring to another, and effectively they were getting swapped. So ultimately, DaVita's which had the all alcohol license, will end up going under new ownership and with the beer and wine, and Table and Vine operating within Big Y will end up with their all alcohol license. Obviously, there were some discussions there, and many of the councilors, especially you, added that you're frustrated with the process. And I can, as a witness of that process, it is frustrating in terms of what you're limited to do.
Exactly. It is very frustrating. You know, I wish the ABCC would either take it over or give it to us, one or the other, but not be there with their thumb on you saying, well, you can do this, but you can't do that. And it becomes very frustrating. But what did happen was DeVita's Market, which years ago just had a beer and wine license as a market. And then a few years ago, I don't remember exactly when, 5, 6 years ago, they were came in and applied for an all alcohol license, which was given to them. And Table and Vine, which is part of Big Y, has a beer and wine license, and they were looking for a all alcohol license. So the DeVita's has been the Donovan family, who has owned DeVita's for decades. They are, Mike is retiring, and the new owners are looking to put that back as a beer and wine market type of establishment. And in lieu of the all alcohol, actually selling the all alcohol license to Big Y or Table and Vine, and then the beer and wine would go to DeVita's. And you know, there's always with these, there are, you know, discussions people feel bad for, and I as well, for these small businesses that are in the area. But, you know, competition is not a reason that can you can deny one. You can deny it if you don't feel there is a public need. But a council from years ago had established that the need in that area. So, you know, you're moving a license from a half a mile to a mile, a half a mile, quarter of a mile away from one establishment to another. And a big box store versus a small store, you can't say no because of that. So what happens is, and councils have said no before, and, you know, it goes back to the ABCC, then they come back and say, no, you can't say no for that. You have to approve the license. And so it becomes, it's very frustrating as a councilor to have control, but not have control.
Yeah, because while the community need is one of the key pieces, and you can't talk about competition, the community need had already been established with those three licenses operating for some number of years. You were rightfully and ABC approved. The time was it a couple of years ago when Big Y tried to bring the license from the Stop and Shop plaza alcohol license, which would have changed that community need.
And exactly, because that would have been pulling an additional all alcohol license from one side of the community to the other. So that was, in fact, a good reason for saying no and a viable reason, which is what we did at the time.
At the time. But this one, you're effectively swapping. There's no change other than, you know, a quarter mile away location wise.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was the recap, effectively, of those two meetings. Relatively shorter overall, but you've got the continuation. And, hopefully folks will in numbers vote on or before June 3rd, and then we'll find out what the results are. And then you'll either have a short meeting Wednesday the 4th, or there'll be another, good discussion, put it that way,
There you
however
go.
long it's going to be.
That's exactly right. And, I just urge the residents to come out and vote. This is a very important election for your community, and it's important that we get a good turnout for sure.
And just reemphasize, if you like the way, and even if you're not totally satisfied with the way things are this year, vote. Because if you don't like the way things are, they're going to get worse if you don't vote. So,
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for taking time
Okay.
today to kind of do this recapping and make things a little bit easier for the folks to get the gist of what's going on. And the show notes will have the links to the TV recordings, etc. Have a good rest of the day, sir.
Thank you, Steve. You as well.
And we'll
I'll
see you
talk to you
around,
soon.
I'm
Okay.
sure. Yes. All right. And quick reminder for the folks listening, thank you for listening. Stay tuned. There's more coming. And we do this as a quick reminder because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.